This is Earl Speedo Carroll of the Cadillacs, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
The girl I love, she's going away. The girl I love, she's going to stay. I'll dream of her each day she's gone.
And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Write me a letter.
Wah, wah.
Send me a line. Make me feel better.
Wah, wah.
Say you're still mine.
Seems like a lifetime.
Have you forgotten? I still remember.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show. And it's my pleasure to have as my guest, vocalist, songwriter, producer, and a fabulous, fabulous friend, Mr. Phil Spina. How you doing, Phil?
Hey, Mike. Thank you for that great introduction. I sound like some kind of superstar.
Well, you know, you were a good guy and you were a good friend. Let's go back to the very beginning. You were born and raised where?
I live in Queens, New York. And I was born in Queens General Hospital and lived in Queens most of my life.
Right. So when you were a kid and your parents were playing their music, what kind of things did they listen to?
Well, the music of the 40s, Ink Spots and... Rosemary Clooney was big in those days.
Right.
General pop type of music, top 10, they used to call it back then.
Right, right, right. If you were like me, you listened to what your parents played, and, you know, pretty much you got a steady diet of whatever your parents played on their LPs and whatever they played in the car when you were a kid. But I know, again, if you're like me, your ear probably gravitated towards other things. What kind of music turned you on at an early age?
Well, one girl in the neighborhood brought into a party one night rhythm and blues, and I got to hear the Crybaby and True Love, and it was just a whole completely different sound of music to me, and I just kind of fell in love with it. As we danced, it just kept growing and growing on me. And that was back in, say, 1953 or so.
Wow.
There wasn't too much of it on the radio at that time.
Well, it kind of lights you up, you know, I think, because Terry Johnson from the Flamingos is a good friend of mine. And, you know, when I think that even before he joined the Flamingos, he was... He had the Whispers, and they were doing tunes in 54.
I'm through with all love, I'll never fall again. Come back to me.
My dear,
I'm through
As a matter of fact, where I was a dean in the Bronx, I had the pleasure of having two kids, Jimmy Keys and Paul Keys, and they turned out to have a father named Jimmy Keys Sr., who wrote Shaboom. That was one of the first R&B crossover tunes, and they didn't call it doo-wop then. They called it R&B.
R&B. It was one of the first songs that I ever got to hear that was done with a five-man group. It was excellent. I really enjoyed it very much. In fact, I got to meet them guys. They were great.
Absolutely, and a sweet guy.
You saw me standing alone, alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. You knew just what I was there for, you heard me saying a prayer for, someone I really don't care for.
And I love the moon that turned to gold.
Oh, oh, I'm no longer alone. Got a dream in my heart of hearts. Got a love of my own. A little dabab. I like it, I like it.
At this particular time, when did you actually look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, this is the kind of music that I want to do, and gee, I really have a talent, and I think I'll use my talent. How old were you?
Well, I started listening to The Crows, Crazy Love by the Native Boys, and
But as long as we may live, our love will never give. Our love will never give.
Naturally, you start singing along with it. It was a tune that I felt that I could sing along with it. I really wasn't too aware of the harmonies at that time.
Right.
And then when I went into high school, my first year in high school, we used to mimic the groups, but then I heard it live and in person, mesmerized. 1954.
So that was around 1954, and there was some pretty good stuff around then, some really great harmony groups. Did you put a group together at that time?
We did. They weren't very good. We were all just in our learning stages, but it was a very unique experience.
And were there groups in the neighborhood that you could kind of emulate that either went to your school or hung on the corner at that time?
Well, not in our neighborhood. I actually formed the first group in our neighborhood. But in school, I was the first year I was there, I ended up with Leroy Parrish of the Loctones, William Courtney, and David Marriott of the Concepts were all in my class. And
wow.
I guess they were my tutors that really taught me how to sing the harmonies true and really got me into it. And then naturally I carried it back to the corner with me and started teaching my guys how to sing the music properly.
Well, you know, that's great because I always say if you're going to play basketball, always play with guys that are taller than you. And if you're going to sing, always sing with guys that are better than you because it makes you better.
Exactly. I believe in that too, Michael, with all my heart.
Basically, your first group was a group that you put together?
Well, I'm going to tell you about that group. It consisted of David Marsh. I can't remember the guy's last name. It might have been Pete Davis, who was, we used to call Pete the Bass, Donnie Harrison, Vinnie Pascal, and myself. It was a mixed group, and we opened up for none other than the Heartbeats, and we sang "Oh, But You Did."
Wow.
The flip side of "That's My Desire."
That's my desire to be near you. That's all I want is to be true. That's my desire. That's my heart's desire.
My heart's desire.
Well, I need you, darling, close to me. If you don't want me, set me free. That's my desire. That's my heart's desire. Oh, remember the night when you well, I love you so. Oh, remember the night.
I need you, darling.
Yes, close to me. Well, I need you, darling, close to me. If you don't want me, set me free. That's my desire. That's my heart.
That's my heart's desire.
Oh, but you did.
Chubada,
oh, but you did.
Chubada, she'd never leave me, never make me blue. Oh, but she did. Oh, but she did. She did. She did. I bought her all new dresses. Oh, they look so sweet. Thought she'd never leave me, 'cause the love was so complete. Oh, but she did. Sodas, and I just wear just fine. It only lasted a short while, 'cause now she's drinking wine. Oh, but she did. Oh, but she did. She did. She did. I tried to reason with her. It really didn't do no good. She went out with everybody that lived in our neighborhood. Oh, but she did. Oh, but she did. She did. Well, she did. Hey! Sodas, I just wear just fine. It only lasted a short while, 'cause now she's drinking wine. Oh, but she did. Oh, but she did. She did. Well, she
really didn't mean that man no good.
Naturally, we kind of made fools of ourselves after we heard the Heartbeat singing How Long. But it was a unique experience, I can say that.
Right. What did they think of you guys?
Everybody was nice to us, Mike. I can't say anybody ever once said we didn't try at that time to emulate, you know, what they were doing. And, you know, we got better as we went along. But and it was rough in the early beginnings of the music. And then once I started hanging out with Leroy Parrish, my whole world to the music changed, because now I had a tutor that I respected and knew that he was showing me the right ways to sing the harmonies, and it didn't take me long to really catch on. I guess I had the natural ear for it.
Wow, so you had a real mentor. I mean, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they learn by trial and error, but to have somebody as accomplished as that to take you aside and say, this is how it goes, boy, you know, that's terrific, you know.
Well, you have to recognize when somebody recognizes the potential, including myself, that someone else has, and you're able to enhance it. I'm always willing to, if somebody's willing to try, naturally make them better or write a better song or to a better arrangement. It's like everything else. And Leroy really was patient with me. However, I was a fast learner, and I learned actually how to do all the various parts by just listening to him show the other guys. And naturally, I carried that back to my corner and started to do the same thing. So it worked out to my benefit to naturally have a person like Leroy that loved me and really was took a great part in me being what I am today by actually showing me the way to sing this music properly.
Right. I understand. And, you know, basically, I'm a firm believer in, if you can't hear it, then you can't sing it. You must be able to hear what's going on before you can give it back and actually sing it back. And a lot of the problems that young singers have is they're really not hearing. They're listening to it, but they're really not hearing it. You see? And there's a big difference between the two. You can't, unless you can hear your note, you really can't sing it.
Well, I always felt that if you're singing a cappella, you have to know the song really well and
right,
where it's going to go.
Right.
If you're not singing a cappella, I could probably sing along with any music within my range,
right,
and follow the tone. I know the basic changes, especially of the early rock and roll 3 and 4 chord music.
Right.
It's not too difficult. When you start making the changes, you have to be able to hear it. And sometimes it's difficult. Most of the times it's not. It just depends on who you're really working with. If everybody can hear the music, man, you got yourself a hell of a group, but it doesn't always work out that way, as we both know.
I know. Well, you know, that's why I consider myself lucky that I picked up the guitar at an early age, you know, because when you have that point of reference, you can strip down the chord and say, there's the note. I remember in so many groups that I've been in, having the group sing, and I will say, well, you know, that note is not in the chord. And they would say, well, what do you mean? That's the way I always sing it. That's the way we do the tune. Well, but it's not in the chord. It's discord. It doesn't belong there. It's not a note in the triad of the chord. Okay, well, you know, that gives you that point of reference that makes it a good thing. I wanted to ask you, now this first group, did they do any recording?
No, not the very first group. It didn't work out, and we ended up naturally recruiting a couple of new members and starting a group that was local, and that became the Velvet Keys.
Right.
Who was probably ahead of their time. We ended up with a contract to King Records and actually did make 4 records for them. And that was the only record company we ever auditioned for, and they took us immediately, so it was kind of fun. I was only 15 at the time, but...
Wow.
It was a great learning experience.
And who was in that group?
That was Tommy Mallon, Vincent Pascal, Stanley Wagner, and myself. It was a 4-man group. It started out as a 5-man group with Sally Sorrentino. And then Sally had some problems and wanted to sing like Frank Sinatra, so he left the group and we continued on. And I was able to write some original material, which kind of gave us a little bit of an edge when we went into an audition. Naturally, the original songs caught the ears of people that we had a little bit more ability than the average group had. So it worked out pretty good for us.
What were some of the tunes that you recorded for King Records?
Well, I would say probably the best known song of all is My Baby's Gone, which we wrote together.
Oh, yeah, my baby's gone away.
Writer.
Boom, 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 boom. Ooh, Makes our true love grow. I know that someday they'll understand. When at the altar I take your hand, this story's told with a band of gold. The truth about you. That makes our true love grow. I know that someday they'll understand. When at the altar I take your hand, the story's told with a band of gold. The truth about you.
Don't take my picture, take me.
The time has come to leave me. I'm blue as I can be. But someday, what good would that photograph do you, dear? If my lips are many miles away, sweethearts should be together, not with a memory. So not
picture, take me.
Take me.
And the other one was Let's Stay After School, which is probably the second most recognized tune, which was also written by a regular songwriter. And we were taught the songs by Leroy Glover, who was the A&R man and vice president of the company. And I believe Andy Glover was also involved with the production.
Let's stay after school. There's oh so much to learn. If you stay after school, I'll teach your heart to burn. We'll learn together how we can change the weather. If you'll stay with me after school, bring a pen and pad, and we'll write notes of love. Tell your mom and dad that you'll be late, my love. Please don't change the rule. We could make history. There's so much we could find to give us a peace of mind if you'll stay with me after school. I want to know what it's like to kiss an angel from out of the blue. I want to know why my heart skips a beat whenever I'm around you. Oh, let's stay after school and solve this mystery. Please don't change the rule. We could make history. There's so much we could find to give us a peace of mind. So please, let's stay after school.
Right, right, right. And so what eventually happened with that group?
Well, what happened, naturally, they were a Cincinnati-based company, and we didn't get any airplay in New York. And Little Willie John recorded on the same session as us, and his song took off, so they put all the power behind his song, and we were kind of left in the wings. And when they asked us to come in and do the rest of the sessions, I kind of backed off of it, and eventually the group just split.
Right.
And
right.
We went on our merry way and joined other groups.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. We had similar situations. When I had the Islanders, we were with Relic Records. We did the Best of Acapella on Relic. And then we signed with a guy by the name of Gino Moretti. He had a subsidiary of MGM Records. He was actually the one that signed Connie Francis, and he was a big A&R guy for MGM. And we cut four sides. One was a tune called Where the Lights Are Bright. We had Michael Abeen, who is Maynard Ferguson's piano arranger, and some of his musicians recorded at Mayfair Studios in New York. And the other tune on the flip side of Where the Lights Are Bright was a tune called Baby Pack On. It was written by Ray Cerrone of the Bell Notes. And, you know, believe it or not, that tune now is a Northern Soul hit and worth close to $300. Don't ask me how that happened, but I don't even have a clean copy to play.
What I've got.
So
yeah, I actually did a show with Ray Cerrone and the Bell Notes out in Sewanaka High School with the Velvet Keys.
Sewanaka. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for Ray. I don't know where he is. I'd love to talk to him. You know, I think, you know, the trail went cold, but if anybody knows where Ray is, you know, get in touch with me and let me know what's going on with him. So what happened was where the lights of Bright started to take off and, you know, we got some airplay and then it fizzled. Believe it or not, it came out the same week as Kind of a Drag by the Buckinghams. We got picked with a bullet and Cashbox, both records. Theirs went to number one, ours fizzled, and the group just didn't want to go back in and do another session. So
that was during the '60s, though. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah, 60. What was that? 63.
About 63. Yeah, you really pinpointed it. Yeah, it was about mid sixties, right?
Yeah. Well, my time was way before that because my time goes from, say, 1957 is when I recorded with the Velvet Keys on Thing Records. So that was pretty much well after it. When I got out of the service in 1964, I kind of got back into the music, but at that point it was kind of, it wasn't really being promoted like it was, and the British invasion was on its way, so. You were during that time, so you probably also got crushed by it.
Yeah, pretty much you're right. You did some singing in the service, didn't you?
In fact, we won all on the entertainment contest, and that was USER, and came back to Washington and finished in third place of all Army. And when I went back, all I did was I produced groups and sang with groups and put on shows and had a wonderful time and met a lot of nice people, and it was great. We had a group that sang like the Four Freshmen, the High Lows, and it was really another learning experience for my, you know, towards my background of learning how to do vocal harmonies. It was really a great, great experience.
Well, you know, not very many guys had a great time in the Army, but when you get to do something creative, it kind of takes the edge off a little bit, you know. The only difference between doing it in the Army is you don't have any screaming females throwing their stuff at you.
No, you got big guys stomping their feet, screaming your name.
Well, that's great. Hey, man, that can't be bad either, you know.
No, it was a lot of fun. It really was. I got to handpick the singers, got to handpick the musicians, and lo and behold, one of the musicians that I did pick was Joey D's John Yannick, who has since passed, rest in peace. John worked with me on all my music, and we just had a wonderful time together. And we had a really good group, and we could do routines, we could do steps, and it was lots and lots of fun, Mike.
What was the name of that group?
We used to call ourselves the Autistics.
Okay, fabulous. That's really fabulous. So you get out of the Army. And what'd you do when you got out of the Army?
Well, Jim Tagliaferri, who was my longtime friend, had told me when I came out of the Army, he always loved my songwriting ability, that we should open up a company and I should write some songs and make some records, get a group together. And so, lo and behold, when I came out, he was ready to roll, and we started... I had written some songs, and I was coaching a group who turned out to be the Riffs, and they turned out to be a really fine group. And I added my cousin Jimmy Nisi to the group and as lead singer, and we hooked up with Dennis Lambert, who was a very young man at the time, had a lot of raw talent, and we recognized those talents. And Dennis, Jimmy, and myself actually produced the Riffs on all of their five songs. I believe I wrote four of them, and Dennis... And I co-wrote Telltale Friends, and I did the vocal arrangement for him on Why Are the Nights So Cold, and it turned out to be a really great relationship. And needless to say, Dennis went on to fame and fortune and made quite a life for himself, and I kind of fell by the wayside.
What were some of the tunes that the Riffs were doing at that time, and who were they signed with?
Well, they were signed with Sonny Records. That was us. That was my wife. Sonny was Jimmy's wife. And then our production company was Sonny Lynn Productions, which was Sonny, and Lynn was my wife. And we had an exclusive contract on them. And we produced them. And the songs that we did were Little Girl, which is pretty well known.
Little, little, little girl.
Little, little, little girl.
Little, little girl.
Little, little, little girl.
Little, little, little girl.
You make my job come true,
little girl.
Take me by the hand
and lead us to our wonderland.
Little,
little, little girl.
Little girl, oh, you're just right.
Little girl.
Little girl.
Hear my heart delight,
and I know.
Girl, you make my job come true.
Little girl,
come take me by the hand
and
lead us to our wonderland.
Little
girl,
little girl, you're just right.
Little girl,
little girl,
hear my heart delight,
and I know,
and I know.
Why the Night So Cold? We did Telltale Friends, Where There Is a Will.
find you my fool. Try to say I treat you mean and cruel. They try to steal you away with all of these bad things they say. Tell, pray. Can't they see that you belong to me? Won't they just let you lovers be?
Goodbye to me. It hit me like lightning. Oh, him misinformed and setting up the storm.
Your words were like thunder.
I stopped to wonder. A storm,
a storm,
a storm,
a storm.
I wanted to run, search for the sun. Tell me what could I do? You were the one that could bring the sun, and I knew that we were through. You hit like a storm.
Airplay, and then all of a sudden the English invasion came in, and that screwed up everything we had going with the MCA and the whole works there. And we ended up selling the Telltale Friends to High Weiss from Old Town Records.
Wow.
And he just picked out of the hat who he was going to promote, and we didn't get picked out of the hat. So we had a good record, but we got little recognition for it.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Who was in the riffs at that time?
Well, they were all the original Riff members are Carmine DeCenter, Louis Ligori, Joe LoCicero, Jimmy Nisi, and Richie Giavelli, may he rest in peace. And I was like the sixth Riff. I did all the vocal arrangements for them and filled in when somebody wasn't doing something right. But them guys were pretty good. They got really, really good.
You know, Carmine went on to do really good things and had a great singing career in Florida. And Joe LoCicero, you know, went on to sing with the Chimes and cut his mark. And again, is down in Florida where all the good singers go to sing their last couple of tunes.
Yeah, well, Lou Ligori also sings with the Dedications up in New York. So they all of them have, continued on over the many, many years. I give them a lot of credit for the endurance and the love of that type of music to have endured and continued to sing for that many years.
Right, I agree with you. So we have the Riffs project, and as you said, the British invasion came, and you know, as record companies do, they favor one group over another, and pretty much sometimes it's the luck of the draw. You can get shelved and lose your momentum. What happened at that point?
Well, we just kind of drifted our own ways. My cousin Jimmy went on to play with a band called the Velvet Knight, who did an album. It was a tribute to Cream and created some stir. It was, I think, Clay Cole was behind it, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Hi, this is Clay Cole. You're on the Harmony Street Show with my good friend, Mike Miller.
And we were going to do a song called, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, Dennis Lambert and myself were working on a few things, and all of a sudden, it just seemed like nothing was working or nothing was coming of it. And I had to go out and make money because I had a family to support. Dennis was still pretty young, and he was living at home. So Dennis went on to a great career. When I left the office that day, they had a sheet on the piano. It was called To the Freddy. So needless to say, the Freddy, I think, charted, made number one or whatever, and Dennis was well on his way.
Hi, this is Dennis Lambert, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Right, and you know, I know, and of course Dennis went on to write all the tunes for Tavares. He wrote We Built This City. He wrote, he did the Baby Come Back thing. He produced just about everybody in the business. He wrote Ain't No Woman Like the One I Got. He wrote Night Shift. And if you look down his list of credits, he must have had about 48 hits.
Yeah, amazing, amazing talent, amazing talent. So Dennis certainly encouraged me to continue writing, and I seen that he did have a great talent, and I'm glad that we were able to recognize that at the time. And we did co-write some songs together, Practice What You Preach, which was never done, and I might even do that one over and maybe do it with Dennis. We'll see what's happening.
Right, right, right. And of course, Dennis is in Florida, and you know, he's good friends of us all, and you know, never too busy to stop and put his stamp of approval on things for, you know, guys in the neighborhood, and it's all good. And of course, Phil, you have a reputation of being a mighty prolific songwriter yourself. As a matter of fact, you know, when I was working with the Mystics group, we recorded a bunch of your songs. As a matter of fact, I remember the night that I met you, I think we were doing a show with the Duprees in Central Florida, and you came over, and I think it was Joe Neary that introduced me to you and said, this is my friend Phil Spina, and we kind of hit it off, you know, right then and there. As a matter of fact, yeah, the night that I met you, we were doing that show with the Duprees, and I think it was Joe Neary that introduced us, and if I'm not too mistaken, I think on the intermission of that show, we all got gathered around in the lobby and we were doing some a cappella together. I think I still have some pictures of us doing that.
You know, I have a picture myself. I love that picture. It's a great shot. You guys look handsome, and we all look a little bit younger. It was a great, great night. You guys just blew me away. You did some really, really nice stuff, and you had a great sound system, and the crowd was really into it, so it made it really great.
Yeah, I remember that night. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, if that was the night, and I'm not, you know, you do so many shows, I remember that the Duprees had their own group, but they used their own drummer, and we used a drummer that was a local guy, you know, whoever the promoter was, and I remember starting one song, and the drummer didn't come in correctly, and I remember turning around and going to the band, Aspect, and I turned around and I said, give me an F arpeggio, and I think we did the next song a cappella, and the crowd really appreciated that because they understood what was going on, you know, and you know, you have to have been on the stage for many, many years to be able to have the comfort level just to say, okay, we're going to do it our way. Because if I left it to the rest of them, they would still be standing there going,
Hi, this is Tony Testa from the Duprees, and you're listening to the one and only Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show.
Well, that's funny that you should say that, because we were just going on, we were all introduced, everybody was psyched, everybody was sitting down waiting to hear us sing, and boom, the system blew.
Wow.
So I said, oh my goodness. So I walked out. It was a nightclub out on Long Island. Walked out into the middle of the dance floor and told the joke. Returned. My shirt was soaking wet. I was sweating. And Dennis Schmidt looked at me and says, wow, that was really good. We should incorporate that into the act.
Right.
And I said, I couldn't wait to get on stage to yell at him, because, man, that was like one of the toughest things I ever had to do. But it gave us enough time to get to replace the fuse that blew the system. And I think we've all, at one time or another, been placed in a situation.
Yeah, but unfortunately, nobody comes with like 45 minutes of fresh material. So, you know, it's tough. But, you know, I was always of the, you know, the thought that if you bring attention to it, you know, it only makes it worse. You know, I remember I was at here's a little aside story. There is in Boca an outdoor theater in Meisner Park, and Bonnie Raitt was doing a concert, and I love Bonnie. I mean, I just love Bonnie Raitt. And she gets towards the end of the act. She says, I'm going to do one of my new tunes for you. She said, I just wrote it. It's on my new album. And she does this guitar intro, because she's a pretty accomplished guitar player. And then she stops. And then she said, I didn't like that. She said, I don't know if you like that. She says, but I wasn't really crazy about that. She said, I'm going to do that again. And it really flowed. And then the surprise part of it was, she said, you know, I have a friend that lives in this town. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She says, some of you know him, some of you don't. she said, but he's a really good friend of mine. I'm going to ask him to come out and do a couple of duets for me. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dion DiMucci.
And oh, wow.
Even I was shocked because I didn't know that he was going to do that. And I will tell you that he got probably a 6 or 8 minute standing ovation before he was even able to open his mouth and before anybody said another word. He got an ovation that was so thunderous, and I really felt good for him that night, you know, because it was he and Bonnie Raitt, and they kicked ass.
Mike, this is Dion. Stay well. God bless.
Well, Dion actually was the start of everything for a lot of people, and we all admired him. It was when we first started. He's a couple of years older than us.
Right.
And he had already had, in the very beginning, a couple of hit records, I Wonder Why, No One Knows, and
right.
Everybody just fell in love with Dion and the Belmonts. And, you know, needless to say, he's one of the people that lasted throughout the many generations by doing various different things and not overly exposing himself.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm sure that he'll continue to make some great music.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, here's something that not too many people know is that Doc Pomus and Mort Shuman, when they were writing for Laurie Records, they wrote Teenager in Love for the Mystics.
I know that.
And Dion had a little bit of a Bronx hissy fit when he heard the tune because he said, hey, listen, I'm the head honcho here. I want that tune. And you don't say no to Dion when he's already had three hits. So the point is, they took the tune away. They gave it to Dion, number one tune. And Doc Pomus and Mort Shuman went home over a weekend, wrote Hushabye for the Mystics, and that went to number one. So, I mean, here you go. Interesting story that most people don't know.
Yeah, I heard the story from Georgie Galfo.
Yep.
Way back when. But actually, we were almost signed with Laurie Records, and then they did find out I was under contract to King Records, and that kind of put the nicks on that. And they had promised us all kinds of songs also that became hits afterwards. They had a good Vinnie Maresca, I believe, used to write for them. And their staff and their promotion was second to none. So if you were on Laurie Records in those days, you were lucky. You could almost be guaranteed something that was going to chart or be a hit.
No, that's true. In those days, did you know my friend Mike Palladino with the Bonaires at that time?
I know Mike. I met him very casually, but I have had dealings with him
right.
over the many years. He's a great guy.
Sweetheart.
Really good, good groups. I mean, he sang with some really accomplished groups. I heard him on the Dante Reed show.
Right.
And actually, a few years ago, we still continue to stay in touch with each other. He lives out in Texas now. And I don't know if he still has his radio show, but when I did some other stuff, he would always make sure that he played my stuff for me. And gracious, excellent, very talented guy. And I heard that he was doing Vegas or something.
Yeah, he's got his new group, which is great. They go out there with one guitar and the Voices, the Moonlights. And they are just a terrific group. As a matter of fact, I talk to him once a week. He's not doing the radio show anymore because he has no time. He's working like crazy. And he's just a good guy. You know, he owns a ranch in Texas. And, we've been invited out there many times, but we never went. But the Bonaires were one of the... They didn't get the credit that they really deserved. They should have been on the top of the heap. Some of their cuts were just, like, over-the-top good.
Hey, everyone. This is Mike Palladino of the Bonaires. I have the pleasure of talking to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. And thank you very much.
Yeah, without a doubt. I really enjoy their music, and I hope we continue to do so. I love the guys that are still out there doing it and doing it professionally and still showing the world that we can still sing.
Absolutely. So
we'll have some fun.
Let me ask you this. So one of the tunes that we did on a Mystic CD was Another Time Around. And, of course, I kind of took the version that Reunion did, and I kind of tweaked it a little bit musically and whatever, and we did a Mystic version of it, and everybody that hears that tune really gets lit up. That's a good tune.
Shame, shame, shame. Music had to change. Nothing stays the same forever.
Remember the time, remember the places, remember all those smiling faces. We were having a ball, singing our song, rocking and rolling all night long. Everybody there was clapping their hands. We were a real sweet vocal band, doing our thing deep in the night. Man, those sounds were out of sight. Isn't it a shame? The music had to change. Nothing stayed the same forever. Years go by so fast, living in the past. Nothing stays the same forever.
Come on, pop your finger.
You have to sing along. Take this out. Take this out. Take this out. Another time around.
Isn't it a shame? The music had to change. Nothing stays the same forever. The years go by so fast, living in the past. Nothing stays the same forever.
Come on, move those bodies. Hey, come on, stop. Stop your feet. Live this on rock and roll. It's still kicking in your soul. And you still feel that magic when you hear the metal song.
And if you just can't help yourself, you have to sing along. Take this sound. Take this sound. Take this sound.
Another time around.
Isn't it a shame?
Whoa, whoa.
Take this sound.
Change.
I wrote that song because I was working on a project at the time, which was called Another Time Around, and it was all about taking the sound another time around, and I wanted to do all original songs, and I wrote that song as the kick-in song, and it, if you remember, it goes, remember the time, remember the places, remember all the smiling faces, we were having a ball, singing our songs, just rocking and rolling the whole night long, and right from the beginning, it was something that kind of sounded like back then what we were doing and what it was all about, and unfortunately I couldn't finish the project, but those things happen, and you know, you just deal with them as best you can.
Right, but it's nice to make them come alive and record them and you know, go back and listen and whatever. You've got a large portfolio of tunes I know that you've written. What are some of your favorite Phil Spina tunes? What were some of the tunes that that you turn around even today and say, wow, I'm really glad that I wrote that. I'm really glad that I put that down on a piece of paper.
Well, I think my really greatest accomplishment, if you listen to the hook on Telltale Friends, there's never anything that has been done like it. There probably will never be anything that will be done like it. And anybody that knows the song and listens to it and listens to the hook on that, it was way ahead of its time. The group was fantastic, and we created a whole unique sound in that. And we also had Buddy Pontell on drums. We had Vinnie Bell on guitar. And it was just an amazing sound. I would say that one, that song in particular, probably was one of the hook on that was something that always will stand out in my mind. And I think, to be honest with you, Mike, my best is yet to come.
Right. No, I understand that because, you know, I've written my share of tunes over the years, and sometimes I sit down and I say, I feel like writing a tune. Sometimes it flows right out. And sometimes I could just sit there and stare at the wall and nothing happens. And it just depends. Every day is different.
Well, you need that push sometimes. Like if I sit with you and we're going to write a song together, what happens is you come up with something, I come up with something, and the next thing you know, we got a good tune. And that's, you know, that's what Dennis and I used to do, or anybody that I worked with. Like I'd come up with an idea, and then if you sat down with somebody else and they interjected something else to it, the next thing you know, the juices would start flowing. You come up with something that was really unique and,
right,
and different. And I find that that's probably the best way to write a song. Now, what I like to do nowadays is if I sit with somebody, like back in the late 70s, I was very great friends with Freddie Frogs, late Freddie Frogs, and we formed the Ribbitones. And Freddie and I, for whatever reason, he was a great songwriter, and he admired what I'd done. And together, we used to do arrangements that were, some of them were just show purpose-wise excellent. We were able to project what we wanted to do on stage and in our vocals. And the Ribbitones went on to really super success. And Freddie wrote the song United in Group Harmony for Ronnie I's 25th anniversary,
right,
record, a silver record. And that song to me tells the story about everything that the meaning of all this music we sang on every corner, every subway, every hall. And it just moves me when I listen to it. It's such a great time. It just brings out a time in your life when, hey, that was, we didn't have really anything to worry about. We were into the singing and doing the sound.
Memories,
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 Again, I say to you, what is the best piece, or what's the best piece going to be? At this point, I don't really know, but we're not going to stop writing songs, and we're going to go forward. That's for damn sure.
Now, I understand all of that, and I agree with you, and, you know, this music brings really good people together. If you look at a concert of which I've sung in and which I've produced and which I've seen good people come together, and you look out into that audience and you find that there is the CEO of the corporation, there is the guy that painted his house last week, there's the guy that comes to wash his car, there's the guy that his pharmacist down the block, you know, Ralphie the pharmacist, there's the guy that bags his groceries. But on this particular night, they're all sitting together in the same concert hall, shoulder to shoulder, focusing on groups that are bringing them back to their roots and how they got there, and they're all the same that night, and they're all together, and they're all focused on the same vision. So to me, the music brings really, really great people together.
Back together. What about a few months ago, you and I at the in Margate, sitting there hugging each other, you accompanying me, and it was a great night. Sitting there, and we all got up on stage, and we were with Herman Santiago, Peter Lemongello.
I remember.
The original Mystics, Joe LoCicero and the Riffs, right. Carmine and the Riffs. I mean, we were all there. We had Harmony, we had Recognition, Harmony Street.
Hi, my name is Herman Santiago from the original Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. And I'm here with my good friend Mike Miller from the Good Harmony Street Show.
We had Tommy Merrill. It was a great night. There was like about 40 people I hadn't seen in probably 40 or 50 years.
You're
up
right
there on stage with me.
Hey, how you doing? It's Tommy Merrill from The Crest and The Legends of Doo-Wop. And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
You're right. That was a very good night. And, of course, those who don't know, you tragically lost your lifelong partner, you know, of many years. And, of course, there's nothing that can be said except to feel the emotions, and you know, you went through something that is probably the worst thing you can go through, and that's losing your life partner.
Yeah, I know, Mike. It's okay. I'll be all right.
You know, I know, and it's tough, but know that all of your friends are there to support you. Your real friends will always kiss you and hug you and give you safe harbor. I mean, that's just how it is in life. But what's really funny is that during that time, and I know you were very, very busy, you even, when I saw you the next time, apologized to me and said, you know, I've had such a long couple of years, and you know, it took a lot out of me. You said, but now I need to go back to what got me there, and I need to be creative, and I need to start living, and I need to start writing, and I need to start giving. And you called me up and you explained something that was shaking in your mind, and you said, I have this vision, and it's a project that I want to explain to you. Why don't you, again, explain the project to me, except this time we're going to have everybody listening in.
Okay, well, I thought of the idea of getting all the old groups and guys back together again and doing a CD of all original songs written by myself and personal friends and putting it all together. And Carmine DeCenter, Joe LoCicero, and yourself and Tommy Mara, and everybody thought it was a great idea, so we decided to pursue it. And we named it the Street Corner to Fame, The Last Hurrah. And it started off with about five or six guys. We're probably up to 50 or 60 now, and we got some really great participants, and we're going to have some great songs on there. And we hope to sell the project to mainstream, maybe PBS, because it's such an interesting story how after all these years, we have the guys that really never made it big. We have some of the guys that made it big, and everybody's going to participate in it. And what we're trying to do is incorporate the music of today with the doo-wop sounds of yesterday. And it's certainly creating a very, very unique sound. And there'll be nothing on there that's a remake. It's going to be all new stuff, so it should create some new interest and hopefully some new fans. And I'm excited about it. I've been working really hard traveling all over the country. We got the Cascades, the Casinos, the Mystics, possibly the Times, and a lot, Lola and the Saints, Tommy Mara and the Crest. We got Mike and Harmony Street. We have the Riffs, the real Riffs, the original Riffs are going to participate in it, and I'm just really excited about it. And
right,
most of the stuff is, you know, we're in the early stages of it. In fact, tonight we're going to be in the studio doing a do-rap. So that's a kind of a unique sound where we're going to do a rap with a doo-wop. And we'll see how that comes out. I'll definitely send you a copy over probably in the morning.
Right. Well, we know that we have an awful lot of guys that we've reached out to, you know, the Dubs, as we said, the Times. And, of course, I'm going to have the Del Satins back me up on a couple of things. And so we're really ringing all the bells. It's, of course, in the growing stages at this point, and it's still evolving as we speak. But I think it's something that's really going to work. And I think even Dennis Lambert, His Excellency, has agreed to give us some of his time and help us co-produce it.
Yeah, without a doubt. In fact, Dennis, we're going to get him to try and reunite his old Brooklyn group.
Wow.
So he kind of said, really? And I says, yeah, that would be something that's really interesting. They were named after a street. You remember the name of the street?
Tell me.
In Brooklyn, Bensonhurst?
Tell me.
I'll tell you as we go along.
Okay.
it's flipping my memory right now. We'll pick it up as we go along. I remember the name of the song that we were writing together. It was called Turn Back the Clock, and it was for Jay and the Americans. And the other song that we were writing together was The Other Side of the Track, and that was supposed to be for the Shangri-Las. And that was the last songs that we were writing together that we never finished. But yeah, the project is going to come along really great. I feel that with you on my side, and we got a couple other people, that there's no way that this can't work out. And it's a lot. It requires a lot of time and effort. And, but if it's going to come out really good, we're going to have a lot of different appeals to you know, different types of audience, and it'll be new. It's something new. It's not a remake. We're not doing something over that's already been done. It's something to me that I always wanted to do something new that was creative, and I know that you think the same way, so we'll have a lot of collaboration together and with the other people to do some really unique music together.
Well, you know, for me, it's always about being creative, and I never thought about the dollar signs or whatever. I have Paulette for that. You know, Paulette always, you know, says to me, okay, so how much? And I say, I always say to her, I do it to be creative, sweetheart. And she says to me, oy. You know, you know, it's always that way. You know, a lot of times if you go in just being pure of heart and being, you know, doing it for just the creative sense, good things come anyway, in spite of it.
Well, the funny part of it is, everybody explained to what we're doing, from California to New York, they've donated their time to me and their studios free of charge so that I can get this done. And it's just amazing, because everybody says, wow, this is like great. I want to participate in it. So it's been an open door, and it's great. I mean, I'm just visualizing putting it all together at the end now. I have about maybe 15 or 16 songs that are probably completed.
Right.
And we're working on the rest of them. And, you know, hopefully we'll get up to about 48 songs, which would entail about maybe 3 or 4 CDs.
Right.
And we're going to have a lot of different something for everybody on there. Every type of sound you could imagine. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great.
I think. When you get a guy like Jean-Claude Gameau, who lives all the way out on the other coast, who, of course, wrote The Rhythm of the Rain, was the lead singer of the Cascades and a good friend of mine. And just on a phone call, I hooked you two guys up, and he said, are you kidding me? I'd be glad to do it. So here goes Phil, hops on a plane, runs out to California. You spent a couple of days with him. And, you know, here he is. He's part of the project just because he believes in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's really excited about it. We've been emailing each other, talking on the phone, and very talented guy. He's written hundreds of songs, and he sings on perfect pitch every time.
I know it.
So we got a lot of talent there, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, the whole thing is to just let it grow and evolve and go where it's going to go, not even put a time limit on it, not to say, you know, as years ago they would say, I need this song in the can by the end of next week. The whole thing is about let it evolve, let it take its own natural course, and I think it will evolve into something great, especially because you have all this positive energy behind it. You know, I go peaks and valleys, and, you know, in my career, and of course, you know, I'm getting over some surgery and whatever, but you lit a little fire in me, and, I think it's going to be great. The good thing about it is all the guys that are involved in this, there are no egos involved at all. Everybody just wants a great outcome, you know?
Exactly. Well, I need you in my corner, and I'm glad you're aboard with me, and I'm counting on you for big things to happen, and what you're going to do is motivate me when I start to get a little down because something isn't going right, and I'll do the same for you.
As I know, but not too many people know, you own racehorses.
I own small pieces of them, but I do manage a horse racing stable, and we've had some success, and in fact, probably one of our horses is going to be running at Belmont shortly.
Huh.
And I was involved with the people that won the Kentucky Derby in 2008, Big Brown.
Uh-huh.
And we bought that horse for a considerable amount of money. I was an advisor on that part of that group, so I got to go to the Derby in a private jet and got to go to the Preakness and the Belmont. And it was a great experience. Got to go to a couple of Breeders' Cup. And I also participating in buying the Belmont Stakes winner, Union Rags, won 2 years ago. And it's been great, and I'm still participating in it, but not to the amount that I was because we're down to a few horses. But we do breed the mares to Big Brown, which is a very, very big part of the business, is naturally the stud part of the business.
Right,
so that's
right.
What I've been concentrating on.
Right, and you did, there was a race named after the project, if I remember.
Street Corner of the Fame Classic. It
right.
was run at Call the Racetrack. In fact, you came, and we had the Mystics. We had a great time.
Right, as a matter of fact, did those pictures ever come out that we took? I need to get a copy of that.
Yes. I will send you a copy. When we presented the trophy, yes, I have it.
I want to put it on my website, you know?
Yeah, we can do that. That's not a problem. In fact, I had to reshoot it, and then to run it back onto my computer.
Right.
But I can send it to you. I just did that before I left for this coast over here. So yeah. I will send it to you as soon as I get back with a little note in there.
Well, I was never in the winner's circle. That was the first time, you know?
All right, maybe it won't be the last time.
Although I do remember that there was a club that we used to work at on Long Island during the late 60s called the Winner's Circle.
Right, that's right, you're right. I remember that club.
There was a club called the Winner's Circle. It was not far from Roosevelt Field, I think. You know?
Right, and you remember City Lights?
I remember every club. I used to sit backstage with Johnny Maestro one night. We did every club on Sunrise Highway. Every club on Hempstead Turnpike, going all the way out, Quiet Village, and this one and that one, and Murray the K's World and Clay Cole's World, and finally Johnny looked at me and he says, "You're making my brain tired. We need to stop."
Yeah, I remember when we first started out, we sang at a place that was called February's.
Uh-huh.
And we used the house band and the story you told about the band.
Right.
The guy strummed the first chord, and I looked at him. I says, "Don't play. We'll sing a cappella." And the guy goes, "Are you nuts?" I says, "Don't worry about it. We'll sing a cappella."
Yeah, I hear you.
I knew that it would have been a disaster if we would have put them in there. And you know what? The people loved us anyway. It was the energy. We were young, and it was a lot of fun. The place was full, and naturally, we got like five standing ovations. We probably only knew 10 songs at the time, but It was a lot of fun, and you worked your way up from February's to the next place, to the next place, to the next place. But February's at that time had a completely different name, and that, when we did come back, we ended up, believe it or not, with the Ribbitones playing February's, and I said, wow, I was here many, many years ago in the same club when I first started out singing with the Velvet Keys. So it's just strange how history kind of repeats itself. And you go back to where you started many, many times, I guess, in life.
You're right about that.
I've had a couple of good relationships with groups, and I would say that starting out, the Velvet Keys will always be close to my heart, and I was reunited with a friend that has not sung in 50 years. I went up to New York and recorded a song that we did for King Records called My Baby's Gone that I had the pleasure of writing many of the pieces in it. And he just looked at me and hugged me and said, Phil, I can't believe I'm doing this. After all these years, I just love you. And I also reunited with Dennis Schmidt, who hasn't sang for 30 years with me. The last recordings we did were in 1983. And he looked at me and said, Phil, I can't believe I'm doing this with you and how much I love it. And can we do another song?
No, I understand. So, once it's in your blood, you know, it doesn't go away.
Yeah, so it's a unique experience. I'm getting to see people that I haven't seen for these many years, and not only am I getting to see them again, I'm doing something I did with them 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. So
right.
It's quite unique, and I'm excited about it. What more can I say?
No, and I am looking forward to continuing to be creative, and I think it's going to be a great project. Phil, as always, it's been great talking to you, man, and I'd like to thank you for coming over the other night and watching the fight with me because, you know, I've been held up in the house for a couple of weeks here and I've been getting stir crazy. So thanks for coming over and eating some pasta with me and watching the fight with me. And we're going to continue to have some great times together and be creative.
Mike, what was I got to say to you? Is you make the best pasta I ever tasted. It was absolutely delicious. And what more can I say? Your hospitality was genuine, and I love you, and it was a pleasure to be there and share that time together. And with that, I'll say goodnight and goodbye, and I hope continued success to whatever we do, Mike. I love you, buddy.
I love you too, man. Thank you.
If you're lucky enough to have someone to love you, then be glad that you have someone to love you, for the lips that were warm can grow cool. Listen to the wisdom of a fool. When you take her apart and you do something to it, then you say to yourself, oh, why did I do it? You may find that the world can be cruel. So just listen to the wisdom of a fool. For I had a love just the same as you, and I was too blind to see. But you still have time to say you're sorry. I'm afraid it's too late for me. So go back to the arms that you know will be waiting. Hold her close in your arms and be glad she is waiting. You'll be happy, believe me, if you only listen to the wisdom of a fool.
Wisdom of a fool.
I was not called upon, loving a girl. So with you,
oh,
yeah.
And
I'll say to be around groovy, groovy people. I don't like nobody that's got an ego. I don't like to sit around and hold a conversation with somebody who don't know where he wants to go. Give me the simple life, all the fun and joy. Can't you see I'm just a big old country boy? And I like groovy people. I'm talking about groovy down home people. I don't like nobody that's got an attitude, walking around with their nose in the air. Them kind of people I just can't use. I said groovy, groovy people. Talking about groovy, 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 groovy people. My baby, oh darling, we don't have to put up with them jive-time folks no more. Let's pretend that we're not at our home when they come knocking, knocking on our door. I don't like nosy people getting my business and things. I done been through all of that, baby, and I know the bad feelings that it brings. Give me the simple life, full of fun and joy. Can't you see I'm just a big old country boy? And I like groovy people. I'm talking about the groovy down home people. Talking about groovy, groovy. Talking about groovy people. I'm talking about the people that I can hold a conversation with. I'm talking about the people that ain't going on no ego trip. I'm talking about people that know how to love one another. I'm talking about people that know how to love. Talking about people who know how to get together. I'm talking about people who know how to brave the stormy weather.
Yeah, I love, girl, I love, girl, I love. Oh.
Girl I love, she's got eyes like diamonds, teeth like pearls, and I'm glad, oh so glad, she is my girl. No one can ever love her. Waiting on the corner for me. Call me.
open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place that we used to go when we were feeling down and we were low. We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led us to Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes a big surprise to find we really cared. We looked into each other's heart and found the road was free and clear to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all. There were times when we both had our doubts, but through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Was it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led us to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all. Times when we both had our doubts, but through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Nothing I could do, nothing to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love.